Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
If you have your scripture with you, turn with me to John chapter 6. It really would help, actually, if you have your Bible to follow this and to have your Bible open at John 6 for when we look at the word in a moment. But John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Words will appear on the screen. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then he asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do the will of my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now keep your Bibles open, because we need to be looking around John 6. We need to start looking at it in context. This week, as we've had our prayer room here, I want to echo the sentiments of the Sergeant Major, of all those who have taken part. I want to thank those who faithfully come each day, who've been part of the prayers, who've been part of the journey. And I hope that those of you that did come found that in this place there was something for you, a means of creativity, a means of doing something very differently. We talked about praying the Psalms this week. And as I've been looking through them, I've been reminded of many different things. Throughout the Bible, we're given repeated assurances that God is present with us at all times. And as I've read the Psalms this week, as I've delved into different ones, that assurance seems to have come back over and over and over again. Psalm 23. The constant presence of the shepherd Lord. Psalm 121, the Lord who watches us over all the time, over the day and over the night, that constant presence. Or how about Psalm 46, the Lord of hosts is with us. These were words that gave comfort and assurance. And actually, they were statements of belief. You were expected to read them. You are expected to trust them, to take them at face value. And yet, throughout the Bible, there are times when God's people knew God to be with them because it became their actual experience. It wasn't just a statement that he was asking us to believe. They actually knew it for themselves. From the very beginning, you look at Genesis. You remember the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob managed to diddle his brother out of his birthright. His brother was furious and Jacob had to flee. And in fleeing from Esau, he stopped at Bethel. And there in a dream, we read these words on the screen. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you. That was God telling Jacob, I'm with you. When Joshua, a little further on, comes to cross the Jordan to lead the people into the promised land, God would give him a promise. Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. What about David when he was made king by Nathan? The prophet Nathan would tell him a message from God and he would say this. Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you. David was told at the beginning of his kingship, God's with you. Your kingship will be marked by God's presence. When the Babylonians were threatened by the Israelites, God's message to them that came from Isaiah was this. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will hold you by my righteous hand. Go to the New Testament and we all know that Jesus himself promised presence, didn't he? Matthew chapter 20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Paul too, the apostle Paul, when he was in Corinth in the book of Acts chapter 18, we find that whilst in Corinth, he has a dream. And this is what the Lord said. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Can you see these weren't just statements of fact that they were asked to believe? This was actually experience. They were able to experience in what was happening to them that God was with them. Jacob, Joshua, David. Exactly the same for the Israelites through Isaiah, Paul, they knew through experience God to be with them. And so that simple question, I am, or that simple statement, I am with you always, is something we've all taken on board. And yet with that comes a question, and that's where I come to John chapter 6. I read to you the bit of the bread of life, but if you take it in context, John chapter 6 starts long before that. The beginning of chapter 6, we know the story, the feeding of the 5,000. Little boy with loaves and fishes, miraculous thing happens, everybody's fed. The crowd are so amazed at what Jesus does, they herald him as a prophet. And there and then they want to make him king. And so what happens? He realizes what's happening and he's forced to come away. He leaves them, he gets away to a mountainside because he doesn't want them to make him king by force. And so he quickly withdraws. And overnight, the disciples have traveled to the other side of the lake from which the miracle happened, and he needs to catch up with them. And so after this miraculous feeding, we get this wonderful story of Jesus catching up with them. How does he do it? He walks on the water. While they're paddling away, he walks on the water to catch up with them, and miraculously, he puts them on the other side. The following day, we pick it up, and that's what I read. The crowd who'd been left behind catch up with them. And the crowd catch up with them, and we get very much this quick question, verse 25. Rabbi, when did you get here? I'm not sure they'd have believed him if he'd have told them. But actually, guys, I walked on the water. That's how I got here. I got here this morning. Actually, he chooses to ignore their question. Look at it. When did you get here? Jesus answers, I tell you the truth, you're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you had your loaves and ate your fill. He doesn't answer them. Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn would be proud of that. Doesn't answer the direct question, but actually, what does he do? He tells them why they're there. He doesn't answer the question why he's there. He tells them why they're there. And he says to them very politely, let's be frank, you're not here for me, are you? You're here because yesterday you had your fill, sorry. He's telling them, you're only here because I fed you yesterday and you want a bit more, aren't you? And so he tells them that actually they're not to seek food that's material. They're to seek this spiritual food because that will be the stuff that keeps them. And their response is, well, how do we do that? And Jesus responds very simply, you just believe in me. Trust me for your salvation. And then we get this very strange thing. There in verse 35, or before then, verse 30. What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? I don't know where they were the day before, like. But again, they find themselves asking for another sign. They go back in their experience. They go back to the wilderness years. And they ask Jesus for a sign similar to the one that Moses has been given in the wilderness years. When they were looking for food, manna came from heaven. And Jesus says, you don't need that miraculous sign because I am the bread of life. And just as manna was given to you in the wilderness, so Jesus will be given to all who trust. And what happens? The believers don't respond well to it. They get really uppity. And we stopped at the reading, but it carries on. And in verse 41, it says, at this, the Jews began to grumble because he said, I am the bread that came down. You can imagine them. They're like washerwomen over the back fence. They've not got the answer that they like. And they, who does he think he is? He's only that kid. Remember that kid, that carpenter's son? Who on earth does he think he is? And so they start grumbling away. You know, there's a lot of similarities here, isn't there, between what's happening in John 6 and what happened in Exodus. In the wilderness, the Israelites were very quick to celebrate the triumph of God, weren't they? He's led us out of Egypt. He's defeated Pharaoh. He's provided for our needs. But then how quickly they start to grumble. There in the wilderness, they complain against God and against Moses. What are they saying? We don't trust you to take care of us. And over again, questions about food, water, physical safety. They bombard God. And isn't that what's happening here in John 6? They were all fed yesterday. What's their issue? Oh, how they heralded him yesterday. They wanted to make him king yesterday. So much so, he had to flee. But today, we're back to having a grumble. They're grumbling about Jesus, about his teaching. And actually, there's a clear lack of trust. The reason I went to John 6 today is I wanted to go to this back end of John chapter 6, which we didn't read. And if the reason I asked you to have your Bible in front of you is because this is the bit I want to pick up. Because in verse 60, it says this, on hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? And then it goes on in verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They're struggling with his words. They're struggling with his teaching. They're struggling that he is the bread that they have to partake. They start taking it literally, actually. They think that Jesus is telling them they've got to be cannibals and start partaking of him literally. But no, this is metaphorical language. They can't see this metaphoric language that Jesus is using. Jesus invites us to partake in this bread of life, which is himself. He asks us to remain in him, to abide in him. That's what it is to eat the bread of life. He's not saying eat me literally. To remain in Jesus is not easy. And this was the one reason this morning I wanted to look at this passage. Because how many times have you looked at John 6? You've looked at the miraculous feeding. You've looked at the bread of life bit. You've looked at the water, walking on the water. But I bet you haven't looked at the back end, where it talks about them rejecting his teaching and falling away. You see, to remain in Jesus is not easy. The American professor Susan Hyland, in her commentary on this passage, says this: staying with Jesus and learning from him is a long process. For many, a quick fix would be more attractive. The crowd was initially attracted to Jesus when they saw him as a Moses figure, one who could work miracles and provide political victories. But as they continue with him, they learn that Jesus is not offering an easy victory, but the long road of discipleship. And that's what's happening here. A few minutes ago, very beginning of my address, I talked about this promise from Scripture, I am with you. And I said that it comes with a question as well, almost. God says to us, I am with you. But the question that he also asks is this one: are you with me? I am with you. Now, are you with me? You know, thankfully, here at least the 12 disciples stay. He says to them quite openly, are you going to go as well? And they said, no. We're going to stay. But the rest of those casual followers, the benefits, the people who benefited from the picnic, they're gone. Bye. Out the door. Are you with me? No, I am not, they say. And they exit stage left. You know, we show that we are with God when we choose to trust. We show that we are with God when we choose to do what he says. We show that we are with God when we receive his forgiveness and we stop sinning. Zacchaeus showed he was with God up on that tree, called down into relationship, placed his trust, and then changed his lifestyle. He gave away his riches. The adulterous woman, go, sin no more. She knew that point of forgiveness, but she showed that she was with him by stopping sinning. How different it would have been if she'd have gone and found somebody else to have an adulterous relationship with. No. She showed she was with him by stopping sinning. And you know, we show that we are with God when we're willing and want to change. When we allow our all-sufficient Lord to perfect his will and ways in our lives. And you know what? When we trust in Christ, we discover the depths of life we can have with God. I am with you. Are you with me? I am with you, says the Lord. But he also says, are you with me? You know, Richard Foster, in one of his books that I read in the quietness of the prayer room this week, says this little sentence: God has given you the freedom to choose, the power to change, and the ability to trust. God is with you. Will you choose to be with God? That was the story of John 6. And for some, they didn't want to be with God. For others, they did. This morning, I challenge myself with that little phrase. And I challenge you. I know that the Bible tells me, God says, I am with you. But I think it also says, the words of God saying to us, are you with me? And so this morning, I simply ask, as God is with you, are you with God? You know, it's a very simple thing. My message this morning is simple. God says to us, I am with you. But he also says, are you with me? I am with you. Are you with me? And you know, only we can answer that. Only we can place our trust. Only we can say, here I am. I am with you. We show we're with God when we're willing and want to change, when we allow our all-sufficient God to perfect his will within us. Is that where you're at? Father, in these quiet moments this morning, as we just quietly reflect, as we consider the promises we've heard, where not only do you promise to be with us, you've proved through the experience of the saints gone past that you have been and are with us. And yet in saying to us that you're with us, you also ask a very pertinent question. You simply ask if we're with you. And so this morning we come to place our trust again. We come to show you that we are with you as we receive your forgiveness. We come to show you that we're with you as we want to do what you tell us. We show that we are with you when we want to be willing to change. We show that we're with you when we want to stop sinning, even though it's a difficult thing and it's something we wrestle with every day. So help us, Lord. The pathway of discipleship is no quick fix. We saw that. We see that through the life of Jesus. He never promised that. But what he did promise was a long, steady, good road to being a disciple. And so this morning in the quietness, come, be with us, and may you know that we are with you. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.